Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to New Life Live. This is Zach Matchett filling in for the aforementioned Steve Arterburn. Wherever you're listening from today, thanks so much for making us a part of your day. It's great to be back. I am joined today by Dr. Alice Benton. Hello, Alice.
Good to be back with you again, Zach.
Yes, I agree. And for the first time, I don't know how we've made it this long without being together, but Dr. Jackie Mack Harris also with us. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Zach. How are you? Great to meet you.
Yes, great to meet you, too. I just said it's great to meet somebody before you go on national radio with them, right? Like 60 seconds later.
Yes.
But I'm so thankful to be here today, and we're going to be here for 2 hours taking your calls today. So please give us a call. Reach out. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We will be here to be a listening ear and hopefully an encouraging voice for you. Okay, so all three of us are in the helping profession. Yep. I mean, me as a pastor, you guys as counselors and therapists and ministry leaders, and I've been having this, I've been chewing on this, I was just telling Alice before we got on air, for like a few weeks, and just this realization that, have you ever been talking to somebody, and maybe the listener, you guys can relate to this too, you talk to somebody, and they're talking about people in their life, a friend, a family member, someone they don't like, the other team, the other political party, like the, whatever the enemy, you know, in their life is, and they're explaining just how bad they really are, like, oh, they're so condescending, and they're so selfish, and they don't care about the other people, and it occurs to you during the conversation, as you being the good listener that we try to be, you recognize they're also, you're being condescending right now about them. You're being elitist about them right now. And it occurs to you, you are embodying the very thing you're repulsed by in the other person. And now listen, I can't pay you for therapy today because we have like 3 minutes before you go to break. But I want to come to you today for my little mini session in front of everybody else. How is that possible? How could we lack the self-awareness to become the very thing we're repulsed by in somebody else and not even notice? Please help a brother out. I don't understand how this happens.
I'm afraid we're all so guilty of it. Me too. I am an anxious person. I'm a people pleaser, and I've got a lot of critical thoughts. And those very characteristics bother me most about other people. Mm-hmm. And so what we dislike about ourselves, especially when we remain unaware of it, is the very thing that rubs us wrong about others. Yeah. And maybe it's part of God's design system of trying to call our attention to our character flaws that need the help. But denial can keep us from it, kept me from it for a couple first decades of my life, and so it's tough to get through that.
Yeah, I agree, Alice. I tell people part of the problem is that we are looking out of ourselves and not at ourselves, so it's really easy to see what someone else is doing. We don't see how other people see us, and as we are saying those things, we're typically projecting those things out of ourselves onto somebody else and talking about how awful it is. I tell my clients, I'm a fan of selfishness. Take care of yourself. If you don't put your mask on, you can't take care of anybody else. And typically when someone calls you selfish for saying no to something they want you to do, they're in selfish mode, right? They're in that self-serving mode. So I talk to my clients about the difference between being selfish and taking care of yourself and being self-aware and attuned to your own needs and making that priority so you can have something for other people. But you don't have to say yes to everything, and also you can see in somebody else something you don't like and then start to do something about it in yourself.
Yeah, well said. I think sin is so powerful that, and the reason it's so powerful is that it removes the ability to see it often. Like the myth of oh, if I was being the things that you said I'm being, I would obviously see it. That is the master deceptive lie, is that like it assumes that if it got that big, you would see it. But sin itself being present removes your ability in many ways to see it, or at the very least, see the impact of it, see the influence of it, how it's affecting other people. And it just kind of reminds me of this, you know, the little passage where Jesus in Luke 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and he says, you know, the Pharisee says, I thank you, God, I'm not like this man. You know, I'm doing all these things. And we don't want to embody that type of condescension. So food for thought. We're going to take your calls today for 2 hours. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Zach Matcha here filling in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm also here with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. We're with you 2 hours today. 1-800-229-3000 is the number, and I wanted to, before we get to our first call, talk to you about this Lumina event that we have coming up. This is a kind of a bring a friend limited time offer for two, because tickets are only $69 each when you buy two. The offer ends on Friday, so we're kind of hitting the home stretch here. If you would like to take part in that, you can go to newlife.com, click on the Lumina banner to learn more. But I did want to mention Jen Wilkin, who is actually going to be speaking at the event. Some of you may be familiar with a woman named Kay Arthur, who big Bible study leader, inductive Bible study was something that she was really known for. And people have kind of referred to Jen as being a bit of a young Kay Arthur, if you will, very much influenced in a similar vein, if you will. And Nicole C. Mullen is going to be there as well. Such a talented artist and worship leader. If you've not had a chance to see her or hear her, it's going to really bless you. So this is a great event. Please go to newlife.com to find out more information, but I wanted to make sure that I shared that so that way you can take advantage of this little offer, the Bring a Friend thing, and $69 each for the tickets. Again, we're with you 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We'd love to chat with you today, be a good listening ear, and maybe even get lucky and give you some good advice as well. I know for a fact that will happen because we have some awesome guests with us today with Dr. Alice and Dr. Jackie Mack. So I am going to go to our first call. Kathy is calling us today from California. She's listening to us on Sirius XM Radio. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Good morning, or wherever you are.
Good morning. That's right. Good morning. Either one works. Good morning and good afternoon.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to launch this story, but I just need some... I actually called yesterday to see if I could... You had a workshop for me. But anyway, I'm 72. I lost my husband a year ago after a 42-year marriage. Hmm. We have one child, three grandsons. My life revolves around God, Jesus, my relationship with him. And about 5 months ago, I reached out to my very first boyfriend to just check out and see what his life was like. Well, turns out he, and by the way, that was 52 years ago. And he's divorced, one marriage, no children. He's been reclusive for like 45 years. So both of us just were interested in getting to know each other. You know, we live 1,700 miles apart, so texting and Zooming and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Me, what I am concerned about is what's happening in my life. I become consumed with him, thoughts I shouldn't have. I've never had these for someone like that other than my husband. And I just don't know what to do with them. It's like it's interfering with my prayer life too. I start talking to God about it, and then I go off thinking about him, and he's consuming my life here, and I just am at a loss as to what to do. I'm hoping you guys can lead me to some sort of resolution.
Yeah, Kathy, thanks for your vulnerability. I'm so sorry for the loss of your husband. 42 years is not nearly long enough, even though it was quote unquote a long time and a long marriage. Jackie, how would you encourage Kathy to move forward in this situation? It sounds like there's some things that are complex. You know, there's pain involved, there's grief, there's loss, and yet there's also old feelings that are kind of being, you know, reawakened here. How would you move Kathy onto some next steps here?
Well, Kathy, first of all, thank you for calling in. And yes, as Zach said, your vulnerability and openness and self-awareness. And my condolences for your loss of your husband. 42 years is a really long time. And you mentioned that you don't typically have these thoughts other than about your husband. I believe that these are normal thoughts. thankfully you guys are pretty far apart, so maybe you're not acting on them, but like the thought could be build relationship building. And if you are in prayer and it comes up and those thoughts come into your mind, you can notice them, let them go. Don't get stuck on the beating yourself up about them, because that's making them reoccur even more. Just let them come and let them pass without making judgment on them, without putting yourself down about them. They're thoughts, and you can take those thoughts captive and then deal with, why is this coming up for me? It's okay to have attraction and desire for someone you're attracted to. You just have to be careful about the way that you act on those feelings and those thoughts and what you do with them. And they may be consuming you because you're trying to stop them. And so that makes you're thinking about not thinking about it, and then thinking about not thinking about it. So you're thinking about it more than you would be if you just had the thought and let it go.
Yeah. Well said.
What do you think, Alice?
Yeah.
Kathy, could you fill out the picture for us about what social life has looked like for you since the loss of your husband, in addition to your communication with this old boyfriend?
Well, I forgot to tell you, I dealt with 10 years of his having dementia. Oh. So I've not really had a husband for a long time.
Okay.
And I do not want to be saddled with taking care of someone else again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys, I went through hell. I really did. Mm-hmm. So what I do now, since his death, I'm relieved he's gone. I was happy because he's free. He's up with Jesus. But I was quite happy here, you know, church, my grandsons, you know, and my witness here. And so I don't do stuff for myself. I'm mostly doing for other people. And I was quite content waiting for the Lord to take me home. But he hasn't. And now every nerve in my body is alive and awake, and I hate it. I hate it. It's just awful. So, and let me just qualify one thing. This guy has never, ever pushed my boundaries. He's a very nice guy, and he's a non-Christian, which is probably the biggest obstacle there.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of people praying for him.
And are your thoughts sexual thoughts, and are you worried you're sinning because you're having these thoughts?
Yep. And I'm afraid we met once over an 8-day period, super, you know, kind of chaperoned. There was nothing there. There never has been. But so he's respected my boundaries. I'm scared about me. It's frightening. It's really frightening.
Because your thought life feels out of control.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I would guess that your own pleasure, whether it's sexual or any kind of pleasure, has been on the back burner for over a decade as you've dedicated yourself to the care of your spouse and your children. Is that right?
Yes.
And tell us about any structured grieving process that you have been through, even as a caregiver when he was alive, let alone at the loss of him.
Well, but I feel I've gone through all that grieving for the past 10 years. When he died, it was a relief.
Mm-hmm.
It was a relief because I knew he was happy. You know, he's up there celebrating, but he's left me behind. And I'm going to tell you one thing. The only way I could get people to pay attention to me there the last couple of weeks of his life was to say, I'm going to go in a car and I'm going to drive us off a cliff. Mm. And finally, someone listened to me. And the scary part was, what kept me from doing it is that I thought I'd just maim us and make it things worse.
Yeah, I hear both the laugh that follows an incredibly painful statement. Nobody was paying attention to how much you were suffering until you made such a big statement like that. And so I'm wondering if that also means that for those 10 years, although you were grieving, did you feel very alone and overburdened in the care of your husband?
Well, I had a daughter here that was helping. So, but it was the loss of my best friend. He is my friend, and he's gone now. And I don't have anyone that close to me anymore. So I'm not sure how to exactly answer your question. I mean, there were so many feelings. And
so it's perfectly understandable that having the attention of this old boyfriend feels very good to you and very comforting, and is of course eliciting some sexual thoughts as well. They often go hand in hand. That's understandable. My concern for you is that not enough people have seen and heard you and what you have been through. You're a very strong woman. That's incredibly apparent, and you're very giving. And when we have that combination, we tend to be somewhat unaware of our own needs, and we don't tend to ask for a great deal of help, especially emotional help, because we're so busy giving to other people. So my hope is that you will add on a professional listener and perhaps a group of sisters, a group of women who can love on you, care for you, hear your stories, and then accompany you in this process of getting to be friends with this man, perhaps dating him, maybe getting to know other people, so that he doesn't become your one person who's there for you and listens to you, because that's when we tend to get in trouble, especially if we're keeping it to ourselves.
This is going to be a new skill for you to develop, though, because you were with this one person. So you, for all these years, you had this one person who knew you so deeply and intimately that you really didn't have to spread yourself out. You had a focus, but now you're having to create a new social system. Fullerton Free Church has a peer counseling program, and it sounds like you don't have a whole lot of social engagement with other women, and so it might be nice to have a mentor woman to come alongside of you from a peer counseling program, as well as maybe seeking out professional Christian counseling and walking through that experience of 10 years of perpetual grief, and so that you can start to release some of that, and also becoming more comfortable with your own thoughts being about you and your own desire. Because for so long, your thoughts have been about the care of other people. Now that the thoughts are about you, it feels off and wrong and problematic, because you're not constantly thinking about, what does my husband need right now? And where is he? And what is he thinking? And how do I fix this? And when are the appointments? And you don't have all that on your plate anymore. So now you have the freedom to focus on yourself.
Yeah. And you were also needed, Kathy. And everyone needs to be needed, or wants to be needed, or wants to feel what they're doing is worthwhile. And the loss of even that, even though it was freeing, it did clear a lot of room in your schedule. And then you have to kind of look at yourself in the mirror and think about, well, what kind of value am I adding now when I'm not having my companion of 42 years to take care of and to care for? And that could be such a jolt. And there may be even some residue of that, maybe even populating maybe this outlet of kind of the infatuation of just kind of thinking about all the time, is it does fill your headspace, because it's left a big hole of your headspace to not have this caretaking a part of your life. And I'm glad, Alice, too, you mentioned just that idea of the support group. Now my only question, Kathy, were you with a support group during the decade that you were kind of caring for your husband with dementia? Were you part of a small group, a Bible study, or a group of women during that time?
Well, kind of. I mean, not a specific support group, but in Bible studies. And initially, when all of this was coming down, I was in I shared what was happening with my husband, and I said, what do I do? I was only in the 60s then. And what do I do? Because he can't, and I want, and I was laughed at.
Oh, no,
so
my goodness.
So that comes with age. And so I kind of haven't shared it with anybody till you.
Yeah.
The fact that you risked sharing what you were struggling with.
Good for you,
and you,
Kathy,
got that kind of response. It would make me very hesitant to ask for help again and to really reveal what I was going through. So I think it's particularly courageous that you're calling and telling us all this now. And it's so difficult to re-enter help when help has not been sufficient in the past, and even hurtful, perhaps. So you've got the courage, you've got the bravery, and I want you to let us link you up with one of our clinicians in our network, because we vet these folks, these counselors that are in our New Life network, and so we can connect you with someone who can really meet your needs and serve you well in the different layers of grief that you have.
That's right. That's right. And maybe another attempt to walk through something difficult, which is still the loss of your husband, and through these situations, and to not do that in isolation, but to actually I know, look, it's probably easy for me as the guy behind the microphone and for us to, like, share this, that it's worth trying again. But it's worth trying again. Double down on trying community again. Double down on support, recovery group, all those things. They're worth it. I know the risk is riskier than risky, but it's worth opening up to, even though it may open yourself up to more pain. So, Kathy, hope you're encouraged today. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today here on New Life Live. This is Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris are with me hanging out. Thanks again for joining us today. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We'll be here for 2 hours taking your calls. Please, if you need anything, need some help with the situation you're in, we would love to chat with you and listen to you and what's going on. And I just want to let you guys know, anytime you make a financial contribution in New Life Live, you're making it possible for even people like Kathy, who just called in, to be incredibly vulnerable with us on air, and for us to get her pointed in the right direction to some actual tangible resources, next steps, a counselor, a recovery group, support group, all those kinds of things. That's made possible because people like you guys are donating. And I want to just share a quick testimony from someone because of your contributions. This is from Virginia. She listens to the program. She said, "I just wanted to write a quick note to let you know how much your ministry has helped me. A few months ago, I was struggling in an abusive marriage. I was going through the worst depression of my life, feeling like I had nowhere to turn. And I always listened to your program on my lunch hour while sitting in my car. And I heard you say that if you need a Christian counselor in your area, to contact you. I did, and I found an excellent Christian counselor in my area who has helped me and my two daughters through the two most devastating events of my life. One, my marriage of 19 years finally ending, and the very painful and tragic loss of my father in a car accident." She says, and I quote, "I never give to, quote, big ministries, but your ministry has helped my life and the lives of my children so directly that I'm happy to give to your ministry so that you can be around to help others like me. I wish it could be more, but thank you for your help, and please pray for us." So, Virginia, thank you. What, and I don't overstate this at all for Jackie, Alice, or myself, this is sacred ground that we sit on to listen to people like you give the encouragement and testimonials from God doing work in your life. But thank you for any time you give, you're making it possible for people like Virginia to be influenced in such a powerful, mighty way. So that blessed me, and I hope that blessed all of you just knowing that God is still doing incredible things. Amen. So anyway, I want to get to our next call here. We have Sally. She has been patiently waiting. Thank you, Sally. Online, she's listening to us in Cincinnati, Ohio. And so, hi, Sally. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I was just listening to the previous caller, and I wanted to see if you could give me some direction. My sister has been married for 47 years to her husband. And he, for the past 5 years, she has been his primary caretaker. He has dementia and Alzheimer's. And she also has a daughter who has some slight mental retardation and who has cerebral palsy that she is also her primary caretaker. Well, I see my sister she's overwhelmed, and she is just, I see her sinking into this depression, and she tells me all the time, "I just can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. I can't do this anymore." But yet she doesn't want to, she has a lady that comes in once a week that helps her, you know, with his, you know, help him get his shower and things like that. But she doesn't like for this lady to help him because he doesn't like it. So it's just a bad situation. But yet she refuses to, you know, let either one of them go into a facility. I think her daughter, who is 52 years old, would greatly benefit from going into like an adult program for someone that has the disability. But I just, you know, my heart just breaks for my sister. We're very close. And I'd like to know, how can I help her? What can I do to help her?
Sally,
well, you've taken a good step by calling in, Sally. You've taken a good step by calling on her behalf today, so thank you. I'm sorry, Alice, to cut you off. Why don't you go ahead and give some next steps to Sally?
Oh, we hear your tears, and it overwhelms you as well to see what your sister is going through, and yet she is unwilling to accept much more help from anybody. Do you live close by?
Right.
Do you live by each other?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does she... go ahead.
Go ahead. No. I was just going to say, I live about 8 miles from her, so we're very close distance-wise. And we see, as a matter of fact, I'm on my way to meet her now, just to get her out of the house for a little bit.
And when she expresses to you how overwhelmed she is, and you probably offer her help, how does she respond? What help has she been willing to accept from you? Is it just a listening ear?
It's just a listening ear. She's always been, she's the oldest of 12 children, so she's always been able to take care of everyone. She doesn't really, she feels like she can do this on her own. But I think she knows deep down that she can't do it on her own. But yet she just refuses to get help for it. She says, I know that God's going to heal him and everything's going to be okay.
And well, Sally, does she also lean on you too much for emotional support? And is it too heavy of a burden for you at times?
Well, she does lean on me because she knows that I'm a safe place for her to talk to. She talks to her daughter, another daughter that she has, and she basically tells her, Mom, you're just going to have to put him somewhere. You can't do this. You physically can't do this. And, you know, so they don't really, they condemn her. Oh, I guess condemn is too strong a word. But they, you know, they put her down for the way that she's handling everything.
Sally, stay on the line. We're going to go over a break. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matcha here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jackie Mac-Harris are with me. We're here for 2 hours today taking your calls. The number here is 1-800-229-3000. We have Sally on the line. Sally has been talking about her sister, whose husband has dementia, has a daughter with cerebral palsy, and just feeling overwhelmed. And here Sally is calling on her behalf just to try to figure out how to proceed and move forward. And so, Jackie, I want to throw it to you so you can kind of give some insight for Sally of what you think may be a good next step for her.
Okay. Sally, it sounds like you may already be aware of some of the things I'm going to say, and your sister is just not able to accept the help. But the Office on Aging in your town or the Alzheimer's Association can connect you with resources. The Alzheimer's Association offers respite. So sometimes she could just get somebody to come in for a weekend, but she'd have to be willing to allow that. I was a nurse before I was a therapist, and I did home health care and geriatrics. And so I worked with a lot of families with Alzheimer's, and it's tough because the patient, the one with dementia and Alzheimer's, has a real physical connection with this person, right? His wife. That is a safe person. Everybody else is a stranger. And dementia causes you to experience things like, you know, you're sitting at the table talking to someone and next thing you know, you're in the bathtub. So he is going to be in a bad mood quite often, and a new person coming in is going to be terrifying. But over time, they get used to that person, and it has to be a slow process. Right. So if there are family members who he's already used to, his body already recognizes, those might be other options that could come in for a couple of hours and sit with him while she takes care of something or take care of, you know, the laundry or go do the grocery shopping. And maybe there are ways that you as a younger sibling can help her out. Us oldest siblings, us, you know, big sisters, tend to think we're the ones that take care of everybody and that there's nobody taking care of us. My daughter, who is a younger sister, one day when my oldest daughter and I were lamenting being the big sisters who have to do everything for everybody, she pointed out, we help, you just don't notice it because you're so used to doing everything. So you see her, you see her overwhelm, and she won't notice. But if you can pick up around the house when you're over there, do a load of laundry when you're over there, put on some dishes, just try to help out in little ways. But your relationship with her is key. That that energy that you're expending by just being with her, loving on her, getting her out of the house, spending time is critical. Even though she's saying it's too much, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do it. If she's not willing to put him in a facility, that is just the way it's going to be. And so the best you can offer her is you, and maybe make those calls to the Alzheimer's Association. But thank you for just being there and being so supportive of her as her little sister.
Yeah, Allison, when Thorny thing hits here.
Sally, it's also okay to express your own limitations, that maybe you can't be her only listener. And you can point out gently, kindly to her that it's hard to hear your struggle, but also to see that you won't accept more help. I'm struggling hearing that from you over and over again. Please also pray about a family intervention where a couple of the other loving siblings come around to help gently point out the pattern that they're seeing and to ask her to let down her guard to allow more help into the home.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Well, and it goes back to, you know, sometimes the person you miss to take care of is your own self. And again, one of those things where you're like, how could I miss that? Like, why would I not assume that, you know, I'm going to need to make sure that I'm okay? But it's the very reason that every flight attendant on a flight says, please put your mask on before you help anybody else. You can't help if you can't breathe. You know, like that's, again, very objective, very logical. But yet in the moment when somebody's hurting and we love them, we will abandon what we need in a second just to go and help that person. And we oftentimes neglect the very source of what we'll need to actually get through, to actually do the helping. And so I think, Sally, again, I'm just so thankful that as a fellow sibling that you're calling on behalf of somebody who needs help. So thank you again. Is there a resource that we can maybe send? I know, Jackie, you mentioned some of the Alzheimer organizations locally, but is there a resource that we can also send to Sally from something that we have here at New Life?
I think Take Your Life Back would be helpful for Sally's sister.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll send that over to her right as we move on to this next thing. So I wanted to, before we get to your next call, and again, we'll be here for 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000 is the number, so just hang on tight for those of you that are on the line waiting. Thank you so much. I want to mention Max Lucado, who I know some of you, maybe even many of you, are familiar with, just released a new book yesterday. It's called Help Is Here, Finding Fresh Strength and Purpose in the Power of the Holy Spirit. And even as I was hearing Sally share, like, man, the role of the Holy Spirit is so important when we're going through difficult times. He's our helper, he's our counselor, he's our advocate, and so many other illustrations that are used for him in Scripture. But Steve Arterburn had a chance to sit down with Max and interview him about this book. And so over the course of this week, we're just going to share little clips from the interview just to kind of help just inspire you and to kind of give you a little nugget to think about something, but really to kind of share what Max has written here. Best-selling author, incredible pastor and leader for so many years. Again, the book is called Help Is Here, Finding Fresh Strength and Purpose in the Power of the Holy Spirit. And so Steve had a chance to talk to Max about the book, and I want you to hear just a little bit of their conversation. Check it out.
I want to remind everybody, we're talking about Max Lucado's book, Help Is Here, Finding Fresh Strength and Purpose in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Max, we got people listening, and a lot of times people listen to us, they are looking for answers. They have grown tired, and maybe even tired in their walk with God. How would you encourage someone like that?
Well, I don't blame you for growing tired. I really don't. There's not a person. This is a weary and worn out world. And add to weary and worn out another W, worried. We're worried. I mean, every time we turn around, we have a posse of problems coming after us. So I don't blame you for being weary. I don't blame you for being worried. Would you open yourself up, however, to the possibility that there's a supernatural help, not a help that comes through the counsel of your mother or the advice of your bowling buddy, but a supernatural help that will come mysteriously into your life. In the book, Stephen, I tell about as about a 33 or 34-year-old pastor, I just really experienced burnout. I was exhausted. I thought every problem in the church was mine to fix. Every dollar was mine to raise. Every issue was mine to solve. And I just ran out of fuel. We had three kids, small kids, two in diapers. And so everywhere I turned, there were responsibilities. And I developed insomnia. I've had struggles with sleep my whole life, but that, I mean, it was really bad during those days. And in the middle of the night, I would get up. Everybody else was asleep. My wife was asleep. My girls were asleep. Our goldfish was asleep. Everybody was asleep but me. And I would go downstairs, and I would just kneel in my desk, and I would pray. And I didn't have anything, any other recourse. And we're not talking about an eloquent prayer. It was more grunts and groans and prayers. And little by little, Steve, I began to sense strength. I began to rest better, just little by little, not overnight, but I'm talking about over a period of weeks and months. But little by little, I found myself, the sky just seemed to get turned from gray to blue, and I had a little more spring to my step, and a little more energy. And after a few months, we were studying John 14, 15, and 16 in our church. And that's when I first saw that phrase, the Comforter. And I remember thinking, well, that's who's been helping me. That's right. Why I'm back on my feet. And I describe it more of a whisper and a wooing than it was an overnight dramatic event. Now, sometimes, as the Holy Spirit desires, he may create an overnight dramatic event. In my case, it took days and weeks and months, but it happened. It happened. And so if you're in that case, if you can relate to that weary, dejected, 34-year-old version of Max, I get you. I've been there too, and I'm sure Stephen's been there.
Absolutely.
But don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't. Just get down on your knees again. And ask the Lord, and he will hear you. And he may answer instantly. He may answer gradually. But you can be certain he'll answer certainly.
I think it's no accident that the calls we have taken today have resonated so deeply with this idea of burnout, which, you know, I've heard it said, I don't know if it's the best definition, but it was one that helped me, that burnout is sacrifice without boundaries. And I think maybe you're listening today and you can relate to the callers that have called in. You're responsible for taking care of other people, but you yourself are worn out. Can I please tell you, come to Jesus, all who are weary, and he will give you rest. That is the best advice that any of us can give you. But if you are in that place today and you just need somebody to talk to because you're tired, you're weary, and you need some help, 1-800-229-3000. Zach Matcha here with Dr. Jackie Mack Harris and Dr. Alice Benton. We would love to listen to you to help you get some rest. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Zach Matchie here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Alice Minton and Dr. Jackie Mac Harris are with me. We were just commenting, Jackie, you said that you would love Max to do an audiobook.
Well, I just ordered the book, so I ordered it. I'm an Audible fiend, and so I just ordered it. I'm just praying that he's the narrator, because
yes,
his voice,
Max, if you're listening,
already made me feel better.
Just Dr. Jackie Mac Harris, yes, is yes. wanting you to be. In your very slowed-down Southern drawl yes. to narrate this book. We don't know yes. if we can make that happen, but if you are listening, that's our Yelp review for you to yes. take part in the next time. yes. No, what a great note of encouragement, too, mm-hmm. just to man, slow down, be driven by the Holy Spirit, and to understand that we can find rest. And you're in a place where you're tired, it's tough.
We might experience that change little by little. He said little by little and little by little. And I think sometimes we want big, quick, overnight change.
No. Are you sure about that?
You know? Yeah. We want it now. Right now. Yeah. We are an instant generation. We, you know, don't want to have to wait for anything. As a matter of fact, Starbucks today on the commercial, they were saying that Starbucks is trying to get it down from like 87 minutes to make your drink to 34 minutes. 34 seconds, I'm sorry, seconds. So yeah, it only yeah. takes like a minute and a half, but now they want to cut that
down can't wait that
to
long.
A half a minute because mm-hmm. we can't really wait that long.
We need a 53-second time saver. Boy, that right. that communicates right. so much, doesn't it? That's good stuff. Well, let's get to one more call before mm-hmm. we wrap up our program today. If you're on the line, thank you for calling. Just hang with us. We'll get to you during the next hour. And so I'm going to go to Julie next. Julie is listening to us in Dallas, Texas. Julie, thanks so much for calling New Life Live today. How can we help you?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I have. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, of course. How can we help you?
Daughter. Yes, 15-year-old daughter. I have several daughters, and the youngest, she is 15. And how do I encourage her to eat healthy without shaming her, comparing her to her sisters, or... There's a fine line. I don't want to be the mom that puts a kid on a diet. I've heard never do that. And so I'm struggling with how to encourage, because sometimes I find that she is also doing some binge eating on her own.
Hmm. Okay. How long has this been going on?
Probably the last year.
Okay.
And are you seeing consequences, health consequences in her binge eating?
Yes.
Not
obese, but mm-hmm. overweight, you know.
And she's gained weight in the last year.
Yes.
Okay. And has she been talking to you at all about the changes and how she's feeling about them?
The weight changes?
Yes.
No, she'll just make jokes about herself.
Mm-hmm.
Is she in any activities, on any teams, a part of any clubs or groups?
She's on a sports team, mm-hmm, and that's picked up recently with school starting back again. And I did have her in counseling this spring, and she went maybe like 3 times for friendship issues. And then she's like, I don't think I need to go back again. And things have gone better in that area, but I'm still concerned about the food area.
What happens when you do talk to her about healthy diets?
Well, I've always been like, let's eat healthy, let's eat vegetables, So I have made some mistakes in like, oh, you don't need to eat that much when you're, you know, when she was little. You don't need to eat as much as I do, you know, and then encouraging her to eat vegetables. But I don't know. I'm a little bit timid to actually talk about her weight and how she feels about it.
So you said when she was younger, you made some mistakes by telling her she didn't need to eat as much as you do and trying to get them to eat vegetables. So I want to make sure I'm tracking. Is the idea that you maybe started out wrong by even talking about food and diet when she was younger? Because it sounds like those are appropriate things. We definitely want to encourage our children to eat more fruits and vegetables. And our stomach is the size of our fist. So her stomach was the size of her fist, and your stomach the size of your fist. So you weren't wrong in that. But I think it is important for you to be okay talking with her about it, because that says it's okay to talk about it. And that it doesn't have to be a bad thing. Just maybe I would approach, if this is my daughter, I'm going to approach it with curiosity. Hey, I'm noticing that you've gained a few pounds. Are you okay? Have you noticed that? Do we need to do anything? And that is just inviting her to talk about it. because we've all been in the pandemic. And as a woman personally, I notice when I gain weight and I'm not happy about it. And so she might have the same, you're just inviting her to be okay and be open discussing what is going on in her body, and that you're a safe person to discuss it with. You're not making a judgment. You're asking out of curiosity. And then if you're providing the healthy diet you want her to have, if you're providing that at home, you're teaching her how to eat healthy, teaching her how to enjoy different colored foods and things like that, she's going to take that with her outside of the home as well. And you're giving her the education about nutrition and healthy eating. And I think that that's important.
Yeah. Alice, anything else you would add?
Julie, she's given you the entry point through the jokes that she has made. And so you might bring up one of the jokes before it happens the next time, in a private moment between you and your daughter. Just, I was recalling that you said this about yourself. I'm wondering, how are you feeling about yourself? Because you made a couple jokes like that. Would you be willing to tell me what you're thinking and what you're feeling? You might also notice at times it seems like you might be a little distressed. Like, I notice you eating differently, and I wonder how you're feeling when you eat differently.
Mm-hmm.
You can also make some confessions. I don't think I've always approached food in the best way with you or even for myself. I mean, I sure have had periods where, gosh, I go to food for comfort. So I know the feeling. And how has it affected you? How I have talked about food, how I've maybe avoided the topic lately, and that gentle, humble listening that Jackie's encouraging you to do, that's what tends to help lower the defenses of our children and allow them to enter into that conversation with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Julie, do you think that there's just emotional pain or relational pain that may be populating the reasons for why your daughter is turning to food? You mentioned some relationship or friendship issues that she's been having. Are there other things that you think may be driving her to food as a potential way to kind of medicate the pain, you know, so to speak?
I think most of it is just friendships. Being a teenager, you know, first year of high school last year, and just struggle with that. And she had a friend that was super close and kind of pulled away from her. So I think that was painful.
Yeah, yeah. So that could be a reason that maybe that this is an outlet. And by the way, and I probably shouldn't even be getting advice, I earned my PhD in not eating my vegetables. And so I feel like I'm probably not the best person to say this, but I just think that it is a healthy way to say, like, our body is a temple, like it matters, like, so how we take care of it so it can take care of us. And so there I think there are ways to do it in a way that's edifying, building up, that feels neutral, in the sense of this isn't an expectation I'm putting on you to look a certain way or have a certain body type, but in a way that is an equal opportunity challenge for all of us to take care of the bodies that God has given to us, that doesn't make it move into more of the shaming side of things. But it is a tough dance to kind of battle there. So, but and again, raising a teenager where, you know, their emotions, they want to be taken seriously. They're trying to be self-aware. They're trying to understand where this is coming from. And so there's complexity even to that as well. Ladies, I'll give you the last word here to maybe give a resource or share kind of a final word here with Julie.
The resource that comes up for me is How We Love and How We Love Our Kids.
Yes.
And so that's what I would recommend. But I just, I want to thank you for just being mindful of your approach with your daughter and
absolutely,
wanting to have the conversation with her, but also not wanting to do it in a way that's going to make it harder for her or make her feel shamed in any way. And I think that spirit is going to come across in the conversation.
Absolutely. Well, and just speaking of shame, it's actually a segue. You know, if you give during the month of September to New Life, we're going to send you 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. And so that's an additional maybe resource we can share with Julie as well. But again, man, shame can rule people's lives, so don't let it. Make sure that you're talking about it. Thanks again for joining us for New Life Live today. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.